Blog Talk Radio.
All right, she's gone. So anyway, one of the issues is that we in our field use something called friend bots, which are robots to be friendly to older adults who are lonely. And there's this big pushback that, gee, if we have these wonderful artificially intelligent robots, kids are going to abandon their parents. It'll get loneliness and isolation will get worse. I am very strongly disagreeing with that. So I just want you to know that that's the big issue in our field, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I love Pepper. I want to talk about Pepper. I want to talk about the STEM, the learning. And I want to bring this again into the future. So can you tell me if there's anything very specific that you would like to bring out so that there's nothing I miss that you think is very important?
Well, I think it's important to know that robotics in any form has come about because humanity has created this change. And I think there's a big misconception of why this is all happening, because things don't get created unless there's a need.
Yes.
And it's very rare that you build it and they will come. It's usually a concept that's put out, and then there's some foresight. In this case, there's a foresight in humanity. So I think that people have to understand before they start judging this, they really have to look to what we've done as a people, as a society.
So we'll definitely be getting into that. That's wonderful, and we'll get into that very quickly. So the four things that I'll be bringing up is, just so you know, and then at the end of each segment, we get a chance to do this again, to talk for a second and see how we want to set up the next segment. But I will be talking about care bots, and Pepper is more or less a care bot, and all of the smart home is a care bot, because they're there to tell you what medicine to take and play the piano with you and all that. Then there are the friend bots, which are extremely controversial right now, but shouldn't be, again, in my opinion. And then there are more like your industrial humanoid workers, but for people, like they're robots now that turn into from a bed to a chair, or robots that will pick you up if you're immobile. So we can talk about that. And then at one of our segments over, I want to talk about something innovative, which I'll tell you about later. That's always been on my mind, but I think it relates to STEM. So we can begin, and my first question to you again is going to be the setup of how this works in the world of elder care and where the controversy is, and you can begin just the way you just did with me. Now, last question. Javian does the software and the marketing, or what is its main services for these robots? Because I see that each one is coming from a different kind of manufacturer, but I just wanted to understand the structure of the company.
The structure of the company is a business structure where we find new business, whether it be care bots, for hospitals or for individuals, manufacturing. What we have found is that you have the software engineers, you have the engineers that create the hardware, like the robotics, but we found our niche is the business aspects of it, where we are problem solvers. So we would go into a manufacturing company, say a warehouse, a distribution warehouse, and find that they are, and most likely this has been happening, is they have lack of workers. Now, originally, we were thinking, well, maybe we can save on workers and workers' compensation and insurances. But as time has gone on in the past 3 years, we have found that there is a need from these warehouse distribution companies, manufacturers, that they are lacking in human workers. So it isn't that there's a misconception here that we are finding new business where there's a need because they don't have or they can't find workers to do the job.
And then
warehouse.
Right. And once you have identified the need, you can identify the right robotics the right robotic companies to fill the need? So are you a connector, would we say?
Yes, we help integrate a team of software and robotics. And so we're like an outside integrator, and where there's a need is they can't find a new business because they don't have the people to go out and find these companies. We do. We have the knowledge to do it. We've done it. So we then turn to integrators and robotic hardware firms like Fanuc. There is ABB. There's a number of them out there. And then we use their integrators as well, which are another outside source.
Perfect. All right. And you're also, I'm going to call you integrators, facilitators, connectors. Okay.
Correct.
Is that fair?
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah,
all right,
we facilitate
the
business.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry. Wait, go ahead.
We facilitate business, you know, to where it's got to go.
That's just a test. Don't worry about that. Okay, now I get it, and we're going to be quiet for 10 seconds. Okay, Stu, go ahead.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we have activated so much new social media for you. I'll be telling you about it in a moment. Because we are here on the cutting edge of what's going on with regard to aging. And my blog has now become, I guess, I don't know, semi-viral. It sounds like that's an illness. I don't know. But that is Aging for Beginners. And today we particularly have a guest that is looking to the future, although he does say that the future is now. And he is the CEO of Javian Robotic Resources. His name is Frank Filiomeni, and he's going to talk to us today about innovations and how he sees this field of robotics, because he's right in the center of it. He's the connector, the facilitator between companies that need, and this includes healthcare, hospitals, hospices, home care, everything that we talk about on this show, as well as manufacturing and so on and service industries. He's right on that cusp between the companies themselves and what's out there in the world of robotics and what's being developed. And so he has this view, I call it the bird's eye view, 1,000-foot view, of what's going on in the field. So thank you so much, Frank, for being with us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, we talked a little bit about it before the show began, about this tension. I think we have to, because this is called the Fountain of Truth, I think we have to start with the issue of tension. In our field, in the field of aging, there is a tension that robots, like in a movie called Frank, will be taking the place of the children, will be taking the place of live human beings. And then the other side of the fence is that elders are so isolated that we need the robots. Without the robots, they're completely alone. And, of course, there's a social and cultural issue here, not just a scientific or technology issue. And you have some thoughts about that. Can you tell us what you said and your view of that?
Well, I agree with you that it is a social and cultural issue. In many of the countries around the world who still have a communal way of life and a family life, and a social family life, they've always taken care of their elders. And here in the United States and in a lot of these progressive countries, it's becoming more and more a need for outside resources. And it all started, if you want to go back in a little bit of history, are the old age homes for the elderly, where, you know, kids were not taken care of and they found it easier to use these elder homes. Now, in replace of that, we are now coming into a new age of caring for elderly, and that is robotics, where these robots have artificial intelligence. They are programmed to meet your needs and talk about certain subjects and care for you, and to the point where I think in the next couple of years they'll be able to help you and walk with you and pick you up out of bed. So I think it's less of a scientific monetization issue and more of a cultural issue. And that makes it a little provocative.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I say this maybe even more strongly than people in the field of robotics. I believe very much in robotics. I do think it is the future, and I'm a futurist in aging. I've been talking about robotics for a very long time, and I'm blown away by what the new technology is. There's another aspect to it that I like very much. I want to talk a little bit about one of the robots actually on your website. And we're talking with Frank Filiomeni. Javian Robotic Resources is where you want to take a look. And it's very simple. You just javianrobotics.com. And you will see a variety of videos if you go there. And you will see some of the cutting-edge types of robots. One of them is called Pepper. Now, what I like about Pepper, Frank, is Pepper is really very cute. You can dress Pepper up. You can use Pepper in a lot of ways. But one way is in the field of healthcare. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, in the field of healthcare, where it's heading now, a few things that, you know, like the medical industry likes, they like a smooth outside, very clean skin of the robot, which, in other words, it has to be sterilized and cleaned.
Yes.
So that's one thing that Pepper comes out with. And then now Pepper also is able to, because of its artificial intelligence, and it's getting more and more intelligent, for lack of a better word, it can pick up on signs of pain or happiness on your face. It's able to scan a person's face and see if they're in a good mood or a bad mood. And it's able to ask. It's able to communicate and or use Pepper's laptop, touch screen, which is
right, like
appropriately
screen.
At a exactly. And you can pick subject matters to talk to, or story reading, or conversations. So Pepper has come a long way, and as time goes on, they've really worked hard to make it more human. I've walked with it, I've shook hands with it, I've hugged it. It's different, I could tell you that. But it is moving as a companion, and I know it is. Again, it's a provocative statement, but it's
yes, it
true.
Truly is. It truly is. But let me also say to everybody, because I'm a financial gerontologist and I look at the money side, that the government has just funded, and there are some states, and you're in Albany, New York State, by the way, is one of the leaders in the field, but the federal government has just funded new types of compensation in Medicare for people who are staying home. And it's really digital health. They are funding digital health. It is a new way of having an entitlement under Medicare to allow people to stay home. It is my futuristic belief, and future might be in 3 months, that this is going to include robotics in the home. So we're not just talking about thousands of dollars. Like Taro, the seal, is a companion animal, but it costs $5,000. Zorro, which was just in the New York Times, another companion robot, but that's $18,000. We're talking about the possibility of everybody being able to afford a robot, and a care bot is what they call. So this is a huge, huge breakthrough. Now, another breakthrough that Javian Robotic, you'll see if you go to their website, Javian Robotic, I want to make sure, robotics with an S, .com, javianrobotics.com. You'll see another video. And that's a video about learning. And here they're featuring kids. But tell us a little bit about that, because in our next segment I want to express how I think that can be used in the future in the field of elder care. But tell us about the STEM and how it's working right now.
Well, the STEM is working in many schools because the future is going in that direction. So as for the technology, the technological studies of it, it's becoming a bigger subject because everything's going robotics, from your car to your home to your refrigerator to these companions to manufacturing. But what it started out as, they found that, like, there was a robot called Now, N-A-O, and they found that Now was a great companion for autistic kids and learning with Now, the robot, and now they have Pepper to learn from. So they found that autism, kids with autism, were able to communicate with the robots better than a human being. And there's studies done on this, and we've seen in many studies, and we have our own philosophy about that. And since it's helping that area, it's going into the schools and where you can access subject matters, like on Pepper's touch screen. And that's where I think that tutors and kids that have issues of learning, it's really going to help the education system because it'll enable more help for kids in need to learn. And
you know, Frank, I'm sorry, last year I was in London at a technology conference, and there was a robot sitting in the seat of a child, and the child was at home. The child had cancer and could not attend. And that a robot asked questions, answered questions, interacted with the friends, but it was being remotely monitored by the child. So, again, the potential for a better life, for increasing our ability to be out there in the world when we have disability, and we think about that in older age, in seriously old age, we have avatar possibilities from these robots. So I see a lot here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a sneaky idea I have, and I'm not even going to tell Frank what it is off the air. I'm going to surprise him on the air and see what his reaction is, because he is the CEO of Javian Robotic Resources. He is kind of the connector, the glue between companies who need robotics and the robotic industry. We'll talk more. Don't go anywhere.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
So you see how that goes? We're off the air now.
Yes, I see how it goes. Yep.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable.
I think it's very good.
Thank you very much.
Now, this is great. So I'm going to give you a surprise. I don't even. You're going to maybe say I'm crazy. I don't care. When we get on. But before that, I just again want to have you express that feeling that you have, that we've created this need. This is not, you know, some woo-woo technology folks who are trying to make a buck by throwing people out of work, basically, right? So I think that that's important. And then we'll continue.
Yes, absolutely. There's a misconception of it.
Yes, hold on a sec. Okay, so I want to start with my surprise question, and then we're going to go on to that philosophy issue that you have. We'll have time for both of those in this next section. All right, we're quiet. We're ready, Stu.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and I promised you that we would not leave this show without telling you about some of our new social media that we're working with. First of all, we have a blog. Now we have about 40,000 followers. I'm shocked because it is called Aging for Beginners, and usually anything that has the word aging in it, everybody runs in the other direction. But apparently people are reading this thing. So go to Bottom Line Personal, which is our publisher, Aging for Beginners, and you'll read all kinds of cool things, including entertainment, the usual, the ageism police, and I'm actually doing one today on how to look younger in the next 24 hours for under $100. That's the one everybody's going to read, I know. Second of all, we have much more robust presence on LinkedIn, and this radio show is going to be available. It's already on iHeartRadio, but it's going to be available very, very easily on your cell phone, and all you have to do is go to generationboldradio.com, and you'll be able to have the app, and it's just going to be available all over the country, not just in the broadcast stations where we're heard. Nevertheless, hello, Tampa. Thank you for having us on your wonderful station. Now, we're speaking about robots. One of my favorite topics in the future of aging is robotics. We are here with the CEO of Javian Robotics Resources, and we've talked about the friend bots, the issue of isolation and people who need care and don't have a humanoid, a human person with them. We talked about care bots, the whole area of cleaning, walking, mobility. But I promised our guest, Frank Filiomeni, that I was going to surprise him. Let's just recap, Frank, about the STEM. This deals with children who are learning. They have learning disabilities, and some are autistic. And this robot communicates with those people. Tell us a little bit about this issue of communication with folks who have a different kind of way of communicating that's in existence today.
Well, it gets pretty energetic, if you will. With autistic kids, we found that when autistic kids who are very sensitive in many different ways to interaction, with humans and autistic kids, when you are face-to-face, they see many, many things about a person, your eye color, your hair, your hand movements, your energy. It's all about the prisms of energy humans give off, and autistic kids have ways of picking up on it in different areas. Sometimes it's their eyes, sometimes it's noise. Robots are very one or two dimensional. They don't have energy that gives off, so it's just pure communication. And what they see is not energy, but they just see the physical and the sound of it. And that's what enables, there's less variable for an autistic kid to have to deal with. And that's one of the areas. And I think it's an interesting perspective. And that is why the robots are becoming a good communicator and teacher for autistic kids. And they have patience.
Humans, big word.
Exactly. So we have a lot of emotions. Well, we give off a lot of emotions to kids.
Right.
And kids pick up on it. And I think robots don't have that. And it enables a child to have less variables so they can focus on the education, the communication, whatever they're doing with the robot, it creates more focus and not being deterred with the many variables that humans give off.
You know, one of the things I know about autism, not from the point of view of autism, but the point of view of Disney, many, many autistic children, there's even a wonderful award-winning movie on this, really do take to Disney characters. Why? Well, the studies show, because they're very predictable. You know who's good, you know who's bad, you know who's evil, you know who's going to, and you know it's going to have a happy ending. And the ability, there are even clubs, Disney clubs for autistic kids. So what does this have to do with aging? Here's one of the thoughts that I've had. And everybody who knows this show, Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth, knows that I care a lot about dementia and Alzheimer's, and it's my belief that one day we will find a cure. But because of longevity, there'll be more people with the issue living longer, and it's very physically difficult for the families, and it's very, very draining economically. But we know that music, a certain kind of lighting, a certain kind of sundowning sounds really do help with dementia. It seems to me this same idea of filtering out the human element that might come from somebody else could be very calming in the field of dementia and even in Alzheimer's, because these folks do communicate. Another human being, particularly their heartbroken family members, see them in a wheelchair doing absolutely nothing. They're not. And it's very, very similar to, not neurologically, but the way we approach it with lack of patience with you know, feeling that this is a person in another dimension that robots wouldn't do because they would not bring the emotionality to it. What's going on in that field, as far as you know, in terms of use of robotics and Alzheimer's, dementia patients, and so on?
Well, we have not touched on that too much, but as you were saying, it is very similar to the autistic kids or kids with disabilities or anyone else with a disability. And it's the same philosophy. The robot is allowed patience. It has patience. There isn't a investment of emotion that humans have. And that, I believe, is helpful to helping a person who has dementia or Alzheimer's, because the robot can constantly repeat itself without becoming frustrated.
Yeah.
It can have
another big word, patience and frustration. By the way, Frank, there are people listening to this show now in the world of social work and healthcare whose hair is standing on their head, because we're talking about taking emotionality out, and their job is putting emotionality in. So this is controversial. It sounds good because you and I are calm and we're on the same page. But if this was a panel, let me tell you, there'd be a couple of boos in the room. I'll tell you that. So let me get to something that's easier. And that is avatars. You know, at some point, mobility becomes the issue as we age. And we can program. I see this in your humanoid robots in warehouses and even the non-humanoid robots that are helping in everything from security, which you work with, manufacturing, which you work with. So this is a different kind of thing. They can be programmed to do a job. And therefore, they can be programmed to see things that are outside of the workplace and bring the information in, just like a person who has no mobility could have a robot seeing things outside the home and bringing back the information to them. So that idea, too, of the avatar robot, as we grow older and less and more homebound, fascinating. We're going to come back with even more of this. Don't you go in.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
That's what I meant, Frank, that I knew that music was coming in 23 seconds, so I had to fill that time, but we did okay. All right?
No, not a problem. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, off the air, I want to ask you about something, and then we'll continue on. And that is, I have names for it. There is no name for it that I know of, and I don't know if it's being done. I call it mentor bots, and I also call it experience bots and collaborative intelligence bots. What am I talking about? In the workplace, one of the issues is that as the older worker retires, all their experience goes with them. And they were mentors. They were mentors. They could share their experience. And I'm just wondering if it is possible for there to be programs where the older workers who have learned so much and they can, you know, cut the learning curve of a new worker, could impart their intelligence so that the robots can train. It really is, I'm talking about utilized intelligence, taking your experience, inputting it or programming it into a robot. So the robot still has your know-how after you've left. Is that too futuristic or is it actually happening now?
Well, interesting you say that. I have a meeting with somebody coming up, and I've been working with her for about 3 to 4 years, and we've been collaborating together. So she has a program. Her name is Maria Kagas, K-A-G-A-S, and she's got a great program that she's working on that it's basically a personality type Facebook, where I was presenting to her, because it's her software, that to download into a robot as a your personality and the things you like and ideas that you have, so that that robot could be more of, for lack of a better word, a companion. In other words, understand that, hey, you have a meeting coming up. Hey, you have a hiking meetup coming up. You have your meds you need to take. So downloading your personality into a robot, for instance, is definitely possible. In fact, there's something that we're working on now that I think is going to make a robot more collaborative with you.
Now,
I
want to go and talk about, I want to talk about this on the air. And
sure.
You can name her name or not, that's up to you. But I think this is just where I want to go, okay? So I will set up the question for you, and we are ready to go. And by the way, I'll also mention my article because I've got to send it to you, even though it's kind of elementary for you. You'll see how much we're on the same page. Okay, Stu, we are ready to go.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age, da 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is the only syndicated show as far as I know, nobody has contradicted me for 5 years, that is on aging. And it goes all over the country, but it also goes all over the world. And now we have BizTalk Radio. Has a free app. You can simply go to generationboldradio.com. You can download the app. And we are revamping even that website as we speak for more and more ease of listening. Now, right now, we're speaking about robots, one of my favorite topics in terms of futurism. I spoke about it at the World Future Society in Toronto. And people at the time that I spoke about it looked at me like I had two heads, and now, of course, everybody's doing it. But when I think about robots, I really do think about it, not in its current state, but in the future. And we have somebody who's right in the thick of things. He is the CEO of Javian Robotic Resources, and you can easily go to javianrobotics.com, see some wonderful real robots, even videos of a variety of kinds of robots. And you'll be amazed. Simply amazed. His name is Frank Filiomeni, and I have a question for you, Frank. What, not a surprise to you. I have been thinking about the future of robotics in the field of aging, and one of them, one of those issues is the workforce. So you're very much involved with the workforce. So I began to think about the fact that as the older worker leaves, so does their experience, and so does their ability to mentor the younger worker in any kind of intergenerational way. And wouldn't it be great if, as we left the workforce, we could debrief ourselves. Debrief ourselves with the hints, the tips, the new learning curves that we could help cut for other people. And it would be very, very useful. Now, again, everybody's going to say, well, sure, as soon as you do that, they'll fire you even earlier in life. The only reason they keep all the workers around is because they know what's going on. Behind closed doors. But let's take that issue out of it. I wanted to talk now about the possibility of it. And when I mentioned it, you said, funny you should ask. So tell us about what's going on that you're working on right now.
Well, it's very interesting you brought up your legacy of knowledge to step up as people have stepped out into retirement world. And that is perfectly doable. And what we are working on today, and there's a colleague of mine, Maria Kagas, who's worked on software, that I think we are at a point where when you are taking on a companion, and it's going to be happening in the next probably year or two, we're able to do this, that companion can be downloaded with your personality so that it can be more collaborative with your day-to-day routine, whether it be work, whether it be taking meds, whether it be your appointments, emails, what have you. And I think because everything is digitized and we have the medical industry digitized, this information is now malleable to, very fluid, should I say, fluid to be transferred into a robot for your collaborative needs. And so your idea of legacy, I would call it a legacy robot for businesses, is very much at the cusp right now. It's right there. And it's just a matter of probably another year or two of refinements. So it is coming to that point.
The idea of the personality transfer is really fascinating to me. I did write my latest article on robots. Is called "What Will You Name Your Robot?" And you can find it, everybody, on my blog, Aging for Beginners at Bottom Line Personal, great publisher. And I made a joke. I thought that I would name my robot Genie. And why would I name my robot Genie? Because it's the name of the French woman that lived till 122 years old. But the reason that I made the joke was, and Jeannie would stand in front of the refrigerator and eat cheesecake, because the calories are less when you do that. And Jeannie would love Gilbert and Sullivan. And so who was Jeannie? A mini-me. So my joke was she'd have my personality, so that when she got dressed up very elegantly and went out to a show, I could sit home if I couldn't get out the door, and I could watch the show through her eyes, and she'd be my avatar. But I thought I was making it up. Now when I talk to you, Frank, I see I wasn't making it up. There's actually going to be software for personality robots that are like you. And this is, to me, the magic of robotics, the ability to think through a need. Now, again, I toss it to you. You're very big on, let's say, making it clear that robotics are not being imposed on us, that we are seeking robotics because of a need. Tell us how you see that.
Well, let me preface this. I am a natural spiritual person. I believe humanity is very important. I love the variables of people and the emotions that go along with it. I think that's what makes the world go around. But society has it's created its own limitations for whatever reasons, and there are many, many reasons why. And at first, when we started our businesses, we went in thinking, well, we could help them save on workers' comp, you know, insurances, make things safer. And what we had found is that these companies are calling us because there is a need, not because they're trying to curtail expenses. And they are finding themselves in a very precarious situation of continuing production as they normally should. And because there's a lack of workers, and there's a number of reasons why, the robotics industry is gaining a lot of footing. So a lot of people think it's because, well, modernization is going to cut people out. I don't believe that. There is, in history, if you go through history, humanity has cut itself out. And I think it's going to continue, and it's at a more of a rapid pace. So I am not a believer of robotics taking over the world. We are just in a position, we're just trying to fill a need. And that's where we are right now. We're not trying to take society over. It is not my intention. I'm all for humanity. I prefer that. But there's a need, and we can't stop the world from turning.
Well, I'm going to give you pushback, you know, and I can do that in a gentle way because I'm on your side. I do believe that there are lack of workers, particularly in the caregiving industry. Maybe if you paid people a little bit more, hint, hint, you'd have more caregivers, but you don't. And also in manufacturing and other areas. So I do agree that if there wasn't a need, there wouldn't be a market. You don't create a market. The market is there and you fill it. And that's really what Frank is saying, and I agree with him. But I'm going to give him some pushback. So, Hawking's, more than the bomb, the thing that's going to threaten humankind the most is artificial intelligence. Fears that it, you know, look, on your website, I'll give everybody the website. Hey, take a look. Go to Javian Robotics. javianrobotics.com, and click on security when you go there. What are you going to see? You're going to see a robot behind a desk. Now, look, Frank, Bruno could be behind that desk. That could be a human being. And I laughed because you have this wonderful Pepper, a little lovely robot, and a few other robots, and this security robot is massive. He scared me just to look at him behind the desk. But isn't he taking somebody's job?
Hmm? Well, you could look at it that way, yes. But why would anybody lose their job if they weren't going to do the job? And again, we're not about taking people's jobs. It's just that there's a need. And there used to be a integrity of work ethic. And I think that's where it's changing. And again, we haven't built it for it to, for people to take it on. It's been built because there's a demand for it. And
yeah, you
there's
know,
very
one of
simple
the-
things.
It is, and now I'll get a little softer on this because, as you know, I agree. I do a lot of work in the hospitality industry, and one of your robots there, I think, almost all of them have a screen. You can have a screen with information on it. And one of the areas is the concierge area. Now, it is impossible today to know everything as a concierge of what's going on even in your little area. So what do they do if somebody comes? They go on the computer. Now, what is the difference between the concierge going on the computer, which anybody, the guest, could look it up, and having a robot there with the computer already programmed with so much information that no human being could handle it, and give the information in a cute, sophisticated, guest-friendly way in the hospitality industry? That's not taking the concierge job away. Concierge still has to be there as a human being for you to speak to. But this is just the guide by your side. We'll be talking about that a little bit more when we come back. We're going to talk about money and robotics. Just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay. So I can't believe it. Are we on our last segment? Oh, my goodness. We're on the last segment, Frank. So now, oh, a question. I just don't want to miss anything else you want to bring out. I'll tell you what I want to say about money in a minute. But is there anything that I'm missing here that you would like to bring out?
Adrian, there's so much we can hit on this. This is a week, a month-long thing because it's so expansive. But nothing. I mean, we could hit on so many things, but we're going to go on your timeline because I think there's so much more to talk about just on the subject matter that you're bringing up. But this is a 20-part subject matter that could go on and on because we haven't even hit on culture issues, and so there's so many things. But
I may do cultural competency. I'll talk about money a little bit, and then we'll talk about cultural competency. That's very, very important in my field. Okay, Stu, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And we're on our last segment, but we are never, never very far from you. Just go to generationboldradio.com. You can hear all of this show. You can hear it, and you can share it. You can go on to Bottom Line Personal, Aging for Beginners, and see a variety of different topics. Everything, honestly, from advice that you can give to younger people. If you are a younger person, and we're getting younger and younger readers on our blog, you can see what you should be doing now to age successfully in the future. And if you've got somebody stubborn in your life who won't use a hearing aid, there's a two-part series on Listen Up. So it goes on and on because the field of aging is enormous. But as Frank Filiomeni said to me, so is the field of robotics. Now, he's the CEO of Javian Robotic Resources. You can take a look at javianrobotics.com, and you can see some fascinating videos on different types of robots used in different types of ways. But It was a wonderful movie a long time ago, and he said, show me the money. So, Frank, are any of these robots getting to be scalable so that the average person can actually use it in their home? I do see one or two on your website. Is it affordable?
It is becoming affordable. If you look at what it costs for a care nurse to be in your home and having a Pepper, for instance, it's a third of the cost now than having a human being there. And that a robot is up to speed. It knows everything about your health and the medications you need to take, and it's completely at your disposal, and it's 24/7. So that's one thing that nursing can't give you is 24/7, and if it does give you that, it's very, very, very expensive. And you're looking at about $100,000 a year if you need 24/7 care in your home, where a Pepper robot is probably going to run you about $30,000 with automatic updates for the life of the robot. And there's a small fee just like your laptop. Every month you pay a monthly fee for updates, and that robot will be updated with the latest software. And they're doing that with
cars. And you have another
robot.
You have another robot on your site that is like a camera. In fact, the way you show it, they're watching the kids outdoors. But that little robot can move. Is that in manufacture now? Is that available to the public?
It is available to the public right now, yes. All these things are available where they're babysitting cameras. And it's not like the old cameras. These are robots that can be programmed for 911. They're programmed to analyze if a kid goes down and gets hurt. I mean, the software is endless now because now the robots are they're very easy. The hardware is easy. The software is what makes the robot what it is. It gives it its value to what you need it for.
You used to call them Grammy cams or granny cams, which is the second generation of the baby cams. But they were stationary. They were in one place. I remember AT&T when they first came out with the personal emergency response systems and the pendants. You all saw the ads. I've fallen and I can't get up. It was very, very stagnant. But this is a completely different type of safety. So that's another area that we can talk about, which is the area of safety and how robots can enhance that without being intrusive and without you having to wear something around your neck that makes you feel like you're disabled or frail or whatever. Instead, you're very trendy. I do like the trendiness of all these robots. I think that the baby boomer, is used to technology a lot more than the generation before us and doesn't feel that it's a detriment or that they have become frail and disabled because of a robot. Instead, they're empowered. I would like to hope that people will feel that way. But one of the things that you mentioned, Frank, was the cultural aspects. Cultural competency is a very big deal in the caregiving world, where people from completely different countries, maybe even with a different language, are caregivers. Same with healthcare workers, even doctors and physicians. So the culture of the robot, does it mimic? Is there thoughts about that in mimicking the person who they serve, let's say, or is it personality free? You know, because it's after all, it is a machine.
Well, like we were talking previously, you can make the robot have as much personality as you would like, and with artificial intelligence today, it learns as it goes, and your phone is learning. And let's not mislead ourselves by thinking a robot that stands like a human being has taken over. Our cell phones are the robot in our hands, and people don't really see it that way. But that robot in your hand is your laptop, it is your directional, it is your video camera, it is your camera. So we all have robots now. It may not look like a human being, but it's a cell phone. So let's look at it that way. And it's becoming
your
personality.
And self-driving car is a robot, too. And the self-driving car was started at MIT Age Lab. So many things that we look at today as desirable were actually technology for aging. and people didn't even know it because MIT AgeLab is a huge, huge manufacturer of aging technology that then trickles down into the mainstream and goes across. Yeah, I think that the great divide is to realize that a robot is something you own, and it's a piece of equipment. It's really not a piece of science. It's not like Twilight Zone, and where you're writing a cookbook. For those of you who remember the aliens coming down to serve humankind, and what that was the name of the book, Frank, and it was a cookbook. So it was very scary. But no, it's not like that. So I thank you so much for being with us. I can't believe that we're at the end of our time. But as I tell everyone, we will be hearing this live on Saturday and Sunday on most of our broadcast stations. You'll also be able to go on your BizTalk app, hear it anytime you want. And come Wednesday, it will be archived on GenerationBoldRadio.com with the ability for you to go to Ask Adrian and ask any questions you wish. We're also now on Quora, which is the big question site, and I'm answering questions on aging left and right here. So thank you so much, Frank, for being with us. And one of
thank
the
you.
I'm hoping that we'll be able to do this again. And as I say every week, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. So that is the show. We are off the air. That's going to now be edited a little bit and sent to our engineer, and they'll put it on all our stations, and then we will put it on our website. But on the homepage will be a picture, and that is a picture you send us. So you can send the logo of your firm, you can send a picture of yourself, you can send a picture of a robot, whatever you want, okay?
Thank you, Adrian. This was wonderful. It's such a big topic. I mean, you can't hit all things, but there's so many dimensions and prisms. It takes a lot.
Well, I have to tell you, and I lay this on without embarrassment, there is some place for me in this field. We are consultants. We have a firm here in New York and in Santa Monica. We have consulted with most of the companies we've consulted with are technology for the older adult that is not computer literate. In other words, remote computing, like CU-Link and several others where people are just getting used to a computer, or somebody in maybe their children or somebody in the facility is helping them use email, video calling, music and spirituality for sundowning, and in many, many, many languages. So tomorrow I'm meeting with my client who is a tech guy. He sold his company for millions, many, many years ago in the tech boom. And because his mother couldn't communicate, he created this new technology called CU-Link. But there are many others like that. But I think there's a lot more to be done here in terms of the non-computer-based, but the actual robot. So think about it. Stuart?
Yes.
We're hearing this in our phone for some reason. I don't know what
you're
saying. We're hearing something in our phone. We're hearing something in our phone that's very strange. Did you hear that too, Frank?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, very strange. Well, anyway, think about it. I don't know who to go to in the field of robotics that's actually creating either the hardware or the software to talk to them about what's needed in the field.
Well, you broke up there.
I don't know. Think about it. If you can direct me to somebody either in the hardware or the software area that I could talk to explain to them what I think is needed in the field of aging and robotics, that might be a little different than what they're looking at. I'd be very excited to be able to talk to them.
Absolutely. Let me put our put our feelers out and see. This is a big subject. It's a big. It's a subject on cultural, social, even ethically. And it's a wide berth, and we can go anywhere with it. Jen, I commend you. It's a phenomenal thing. Feel free to call me anytime, and I'll be happy to talk on the air or off the air.
Well, that's wonderful, because the way you connect the companies, connect the companies with the manufacturers and the software and so on, I connect the companies with the market, which could be assisted living communities, which could be hospitals, hospices, or home health care agencies. I can tell you now, they don't know everything that's out there in robotics. So that's something that I'd be interested in talking to anybody who's looking at, for that market, okay?
Yes, yes. We've talked to a number of hospitals in the past, and there's been issues. There's so many things that they brought up in this conference that we had at Albany Medical Hospital that we didn't even see that they had brought up, and that is a whole nother subject about robotics, not in surgery, but as helpers in a hospital and some of the issues that they're bringing up. And that is that's a whole other subject to touch on.
Right.
But it's going there anyway.
It's going that way. All right, so bear in mind, we are here, and if you also know of a guest that you think would be great, let me know, and we'll certainly be putting them on, okay?
Thank you, Adrian, and have a great day. I look forward to hearing it.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.